Throat. And joining us now is the man himself.
The manager of the Houston Astros, A.J. Hinch, with us here on ESPN 97.5. A.J., how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you being here. And I don't know if anybody's got a tougher job than you filling out a lineup card because you've got so many hot guys. You know, Scooter Jeanette was one for his previous 20. Who knew he'd hit four home runs in one game, right? Brian McCann had been struggling, and now look for he's four for five. He homers two and the game before. It's got to be so hard putting guys in there. You know, you can't tell who's going to get hot one day.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a daily exercise of trying to find the right matchups. And I've always said, you know, give me that problem and I'll be a happy guy. Because it's, you know, it's nice to have matchup capabilities. You know, when you have as many and deep hitters as we have, I'm able to mix and match and keep guys fresh enough and, you know, play the high fastball hitters against high fastball pitchers, play the breaking ball guys versus the breaking ball guys. And so it's just trying to line your guys up the best you can and keep guys fresh. And, you know, when Jake Mariznick went through his little hot stretch, you try to play him a little bit more. When Evan Gattis is going to warm up eventually, he's going to get a few more DH at bats and catching at bats. But poor me, if that's the biggest problem we have is I've got to sit somebody who's good, even though everybody else is hot.
A.J. Hinch joining us on ESPN 97.5. Is that Bregman story real, the cap one that Jeff Passan wrote about?
It is. You know, I mess with these guys all the time, and we were in Anaheim when I did it and sort of messing around with, and I was telling the story to Altuve and Correa during stretch, and it's just a lighthearted way of keeping guys in perspective and having fun with guys.
You got to tell the story.
Well, I mean, the problem was Marwin Gonzalez. I mean, it wasn't a problem, but that was the main issue. Was he was so hot that every day I had to find a different way to get him in the lineup, and he was taking at bats away from Nori in left field. It was taking away at bats from Jake. It was taking at bats away from the middle infield. Actually, nobody really takes at bats away from Altuve and Correa, but it came Bregman and Gurriel ended up being guys that I was going to play with. So when everybody kept asking me, how are you going to get Marwin in the lineup? And I joked. I was like, I'm just going to draw it out of a hat. And so when the day that I had Bregman not play, I told this story about drawing names out of a hat, and Bregman kind of, you know, took it and said, hey, okay, so you drew my name. And I'm like, no, I drew Correa, but there's no way I'd fit him. So I put him back in the hat, and I waited until I drew your name. So just fun banter, you know, behind the scenes that I try to show personality a little bit and a little bit of fun.
You know, and you dropped him in the order, and that's another guy. You had patience with him. You knew he was going to hit. You know he's a good hitter. It's going to come. His defense is good. And as a manager, you've got to wait it out while fans are going, I can't play that guy every day.
Yeah, no, I will always have more patience than the fans, which is fine. But, you know, it's, you know, these guys, you know, have fragile psyches as well. You got to try to get them in the right state of mind and the right way to be ready to play every day. And sometimes that's not, you know, this massive discipline and punishment whenever they're not doing well. I mean, if it's effort, if it's preparation, if it's, you know, there's certainly ways that you can play your way out of the lineup. But patience in this game wins out because talent does. And I try to stay with guys a little bit longer, especially on the position player side, because they're just so immensely talented. You know, it wasn't too long ago in April, everybody was asking me what's wrong with Carlos Correa. And nothing's wrong with Carlos Correa. He just wasn't getting enough hits. And you know, George Springer's the same way. Like, do I move him out of the leadoff spot? He's not getting any hits. And now he's hitting .280 and had the Player of the Week award. So, I get it. It's a sort of we want it now generation and we want it now mentality in sports. But 162 games will tell you how good you are.
Absolutely. A.J. Hinch joining us on ESPN 97.5. All right, so what really happened with Dallas yesterday? Is he okay?
Well, it was so weird. I don't know what the problem was going into the game. I knew he didn't feel very well the last couple of days. There was talk of him being sick, and he hadn't been on the bench a ton, and he felt weak. And so when the warm-up started, you know, it's really nice here in Kansas City. We drew a pretty good week, so it wasn't tremendously hot. It wasn't, you know, because you can come here some days and not breathe. I mean, it can be terrible weather in Kansas City. So when the warm-ups were going on, Javier Bracamani, our bullpen catcher, was coming running in from the outfield, and the bullpen in Kansas City is in right field, so he's coming to the third base dugout, and he's, you know, he's kind of running in, and Alex Cora and I were joking about, he did that in Mexico because one of the young kids had fallen down and we thought he'd hurt his knee, so we were joking, oh, here comes Brock, like Mexico last year in the exhibition series, and all he told us was he wasn't feeling well, he didn't look great, and so you sort of shrug it off as just a different warm-up, and then the phone rang in the dugout, and it was Brent Strom, and he said, Dallas is scratched. Doesn't look right, doesn't feel right. So Dallas walked across the field. We went and got Diaz, sent him out to the bullpen, and I walk over and tell Ned Yost that we're going to scratch him. And so it was a combination of he just didn't look right, he didn't feel right, he'd been sick the last couple days, and it was an easy decision to get our best pitcher off the field.
AJ Hinch with us here on ESPN 97.5, talking some Astros baseball with the best team manager in baseball right now, AJ Hinch. Richard Justice put this out yesterday. StatCast says that the opposing hitters are hitting 374 against Giles' fastball and 108 versus his slider. How do you manage that as a manager?
Well, I mean, I think it's placement of the fastball that's going to be important for him, and it doesn't mean that you can throw five or six sliders in a row to the same hitter, which is what burned him the day before. You know, in the tough loss was that, you know, Merrifield saw five or six sliders, and then Moustakas saw a couple different sliders, and there's, you know, the numbers are the result of the at bat, not necessarily how you got there. And so, where he throws his fastball, if he could pitch up a little more, those numbers would be more in his favor, and over-educating the player on a slider is always going to hurt you. I don't care how good it is. So for him, pitch usage is something that we keep harping on him and McCann and Gattis behind the plate to make sure he doesn't fall into patterns. And if you read those numbers, it would tell you, okay, just throw all sliders, and that's not how you're going to get hitters out.
AJ Hinch joining us on ESPN 97.5. What's been the biggest difference for Marwin Gonzalez?
Pitch selection. And plate discipline. You know, he's been unbelievably good for him, especially to lay off pitches that he can't hit. And it's not a change that's normal for hitters, especially at this level. Usually you are what you are, and there'll be subtle tweaks that get you a little bit better, but he's been uncanny at swinging at strikes and taking the balls. And I know that sounds simple, but it's not easy. I mean, I remember last year, he's such a free swinger, and if you had a back foot slider below the zone, he would swing often and swing hard. And this year, you know, as he put attention to it in spring, he got to play a lot when the WBC guys were gone. It started to click for him, and pitch recognition got a little bit better. We had a few different things that we worked on in the spring, and he took it into the season. And it didn't go well for him at the beginning of April. You know, he was under 200. He wasn't driving the ball. He hadn't hit a homer. And then it clicked in late April, early May, and he had one of the best months you could imagine in May.
AJ Hinch with us here on ESPN 97.5. Okay, it's George Springer. We have been talking about this. I personally feel, and you guys win, and you're not going to move him out of the leadoff spot, and you know you don't change a good thing, and all of those things. He's not a traditional leadoff hitter. He's not a big on-base percentage guy. He's not stealing bases. He's more of a run producer, a four or five hole guy. But that's not changing. Is Altuve more of a leadoff guy than George Springer?
No, not at all. I mean, I think that's just where your brain takes you when you look at size. I think George intimidates a lot of people with size and Altuve is obviously small and looks the part a little bit more, makes you a little bit more comfortable. But on base percentage, George is well above. I think he's above 350 now. He walks more than Altuve. He gets on base more than Altuve in terms of being a table setter. You know, the pitcher has to come out of the bullpen ready to hit. And other than that first at bat, which everybody will traditionally go to that says he's a leadoff hitter. You can see it, and you take his number of at-bats and look at how many bats he's leading off innings, and it's not very many. It's just the first one that seems to like psychologically bother people because we have one of our biggest guys hitting first and one of our smallest guys hitting third. But the reality is it was once he hits the first inning, the next time he comes up, it's usually a run scoring opportunity, and he's not a quote unquote leadoff hitter. He's another hitter in our order, and he's getting the most at bats of anybody on our team because he's hitting at the top of the order. So I don't fall into the trap of thinking the small, fast hit guy in Altuve is automatically a leadoff guy, but it makes everybody feel better to think that way.
AJ Hinch with us here, and so all our listeners are going to be happy that you said that and I was wrong. By the way, we had Reed Ryan on yesterday, and you'll be happy to know that your job was not in jeopardy after that loss to Kansas City the other night. He said,
"I know that's good. No, it's comforting. I think I'll go to the park a little happier today, not knowing that." Thank you.
That's absolutely your job security is there. Just so you know,
less pressure today.
That's right. AJ Hinch, can you give us an update on Morton and Musgrove?
There's not much of an update on Morton. He's not playing catch yet, so he's still a ways off until we initiate a film program with him. And you know, he's got to play catch. He's got to catch a couple days, and then he's going to end up throwing a bullpen and things like that. So he's still a little ways off. Musgrove's doing better. He's going to throw a bullpen, I think, today. If not today, then he'll throw one tomorrow. You know, the spot that we're considering him is on Sunday. So that's David Polino's spot that he's filled in for Musgrove. So it's trending in the right way, and he's throwing well and feeling well. But until he throws a kind of an all-out, full-speed bullpen in the next couple days, we won't know a ton. But he's chomping at the bit a little bit to get on the mound and test it, so I know he's feeling better.
And how's Marwin's hand?
Good. He may play today. If he doesn't play today, he'll play tomorrow. He's been available the last couple days. The situations haven't really been for him to get in there, and I was pretty committed to not starting him the last couple days. But I'll think about today a little bit against Hamill. If not today, he'll play tomorrow against Shoemaker.
And finally, Colin McHugh, he's not there, and obviously it's a long-term deal. So do you even think about that, or you just worry about what's going on day-to-day?
No, I think about it because our rotation has questions all the time, and I get asked questions about our rotation all the time. So I'm looking at him, and I think he's getting close to throwing a more aggressive bullpen and use all his pitches and similar to Joe, but different in terms of timing, but is get after it a little bit. And then he's going to have to face some hitters and go through a spring training prep, you know, that includes live batting practice. Then he's going to have a two-inning outing and a three-inning outing and a four-inning outing. So he's still a ways off when you look at how long it takes a pitcher to get built up. But the full-speed, no-restriction bullpen is coming soon, and that's a good sign because that means he's at the beginning of spring training.
Hey, we appreciate it, man. This is a lot of fun. This is a great season. I've said this a few times. Can't remember the last time that a Houston team was by far the best team in any sport. So this is a lot of fun watching you guys and continued success. We're all enjoying it, and hopefully we get a bunch of people out there going crazy for this next homestand.
Yeah, it'd be great. Love to have you guys at the park.
Thank you. AJ Hinch right here with us on ESPN 97.5.